Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It is my desire to see you join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me give you the telephone number right soon. That is 401-1413. 401-1413 allows you, our listener, to become part of this broadcast program. Let's Face the Issues is designed around issues that face the family, church, and the government. And all of those issues, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, should be viewed as central biblicist issues simply because God gave us the home, government, and the church. And Jesus said himself, "Thy word is truth." And so when we look for truth to resolve issues, we need to look to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my delight to come to you today. And let's talk about, I'm simply calling it God Bless America. We're celebrating Independence Day. And as we celebrate Independence Day, looking back to July the 4th, 1776, when our founding fathers gave us the Declaration of Independence. Some in our society today seem to reject the notion that America is a Christian nation. In fact, recently in Dallas, Texas, the pastor First Baptist Church of Dallas, Dr. Robert Jeffers, faced the mayor and the Dallas Morning News newspaper, chiding him and challenging him because of a billboard that they had installed, had put up, two of them, in fact, and it was advertising Freedom Sunday, and the title of the message for Freedom Sunday was going to be America is a Christian Nation. And there was a hue and outcry from a detractor that did not like that message. And so because the mayor and the Dallas Morning News put up such a ruckus, the billboard company canceled their contract, removed the two billboards. The fortunate thing is another billboard company, outdoor advertising company in Dallas, saw the need, stepped up to the plate, and as a result of that fiasco, the First Baptist Church of Dallas wound up with 20 billboards rather than just two that another company had stepped in and said, "We don't mind advertising something like that." But ladies and gentlemen, we see those that are against the scripture, they're against God. And as a result of being against God, it's a battle between God and Satan being fought out in the hearts and the lives and minds of human beings. You don't have to look any further than the sewer in Washington to see that coming to full fruition today on national news and on the news front, where we have those that simply are pushing for socialism, communism, rather than looking at what we have in America. Some reject the notion that America is a Christian nation. Recently, we have historical events that are taking place on a recent basis where we see the flag being burned. We see the desecration of the flag, some taking the flag down and installing flags of other nations. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a nation that we ought to be proud of and thankful for what God has given us in this nation. In fact, it's not just for looking at our founding fathers and our founding documents, but according to Galatians 5:13, we have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read you a little blurb that says, "Every year on the 4th of July, we get to celebrate the freedom that we have as Americans. While we enjoy earthly freedom as citizens of the United States, we can reflect and celebrate and share the eternal freedom that we have been granted through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. This is a freedom that has not just been granted us forgiveness for our sins, but a freedom that gives us the opportunity to impact the world around us. And Galatians 5:13 talks about, for you're called to freedom, liberty. Only do not use your liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we are doubly free in America. If you're a Christian, we're free in America as a result of our Declaration of Independence and the freedoms that we enjoy in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, but we're free also in Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a little brief quote from Benjamin Franklin. He says, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth. God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow can fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? And then George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Do not ever let anyone claim to be a true American patriot if they ever attempt to separate religion, and they were talking about true religion, Christianity, from politics, George Washington. And then Daniel Webster said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and to defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a free nation today, and I'm always taken aback. I'm always saddened when I see some upstarts in our nation that simply clamor for that which is simply socialism, and socialism is communism light, and they never recognize what we have as a nation. One of the major problems, ladies and gentlemen, in that is that in our schools today, the governmentally controlled schools, better known as public schools, we have for the past 35 or 40 years ceased and desist in teaching true American history. And as a result of that, we're finding those growing up today, getting to age where they're in the workplace, out in the marketplace, and simply do not understand the heritage of America. Today we find the Democratic Socialist Party, and few have never checked that, Google it, the Democratic Socialist Party. We have about 100-plus House of Representatives and senators in American leadership in Washington that are proud of their position in the Socialist Democratic Party. They are prone to reject America and our rich Christian heritage and seek socialism as a result of it. That's one of the threads that you find behind the push in Washington with what President Trump has come to call the sewer and not just the swamp. It is because of that very factor. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just drop in at this point and remind you that Sunday, we're going to have God and Country Day. We've done that for about 20-plus years on God and Country Day. I'm proud to see other churches using our same title, God and Country Day. That's wonderful. But we're using the position, looking at the position, taking the position that it's God and country that ought to motivate us to recognize the freedom that we have. So we're celebrating Independence Day this Sunday. At 10 o'clock, we'll have a wonderful time of singing. We have the Groves Family Singers that will be here in concert. They will be singing some of the finest patriotic songs you'd ever want to hear. They will be singing some of the old gospel hymns that many times you don't hear in some of the rock and roll services today called worship services. We'll have that. And then a man by the name of Harry McKay. Harry travels across the nation doing the reenactment of the Patrick Henry Liberty speech. Give me liberty or give me death. Most know that. And then we'll have the wonderful opportunity after the services to go into the lunchroom here in the church facilities on campus and enjoy a wonderful barbecue meal. Of course, there'll be a little small cost for that to offset the purchase of the barbecue. But we are looking forward to having you join with us. We'll be looking at a message entitled Remember. We'll be looking back in remembrance and recollection of what God's done for America. We're going to be talking about our independence and what God has done through the formation of the United States of America. we've seen, ladies and gentlemen, federal judges and appeal courts judges and even the Supreme Court make decisions that are contrary to our Constitution and the rule of law. William Penn said, "Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants." And I really believe we've devolved to that position in America today. We're ruled by tyrants rather than being willing to be governed by God and the Word of God. Thomas Jefferson said, "The reason that Christianity is the best friend of government is because Christianity is the only religion that changes the hearts." And that's a fact that I think we have forgotten in our fast-paced society today as we think on the subject of life and liberty. There are a lot of folks today that are looking forward to freedoms and liberty, but not realizing that we are not free unless we are under the power of the Word of God, allowing God to have free reign in our lives. Benjamin Rush said, "Liberty without virtue would be no blessing to us at all." Ronald Reagan said, "Freedom prospers when religion, that is Christianity, is vibrant and the rule of law under God is acknowledged." Ladies and gentlemen, you can't beat some of the quotes by some of the founding fathers and some of the previous leadership in America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to recognize that liberty without virtue would be no blessing to us at all. And yet we have those that are trying to divorce our nation's founders and our founding heritage from the Word of God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, none of our freedoms and our liberties today would be possible were it not for our Declaration of Independence. Why is it so? Well, 56 signers, I don't know if you know that, 56 men signed our Declaration of Independence. When they signed their names to that finished document that we revere today, called the Declaration of Independence, when they signed their names to that finished document, it was considered by the Crown as treason. Those 56 men, for their posterity, not for themselves, those 56 men, for their posterity, had placed their lives on the line. They truly risked their lives. In fact, our founding fathers, in the signing of that declaration, pledged, and I quote, "their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor." And the signing of their names did cost them all. So we could be free today. Only God could have done this through men that placed their faith and confidence in Him. Now, that doesn't mean that they were in church and Sunday school every Sunday, but I believe we have, for not only our Declaration of Independence, but for our founding fathers in general, we had men of renown that recognized God and placed Him above their political agenda that they had undertaken. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility. Just the preamble of the Constitution should cause every American to stand up and to square his shoulders and salute our flag with honor and respect for America. When we say, "God bless America," I don't know that we really understand. I don't really think that we fathom what we have. I have a copy of the Declaration of Independence before me on this desk. In Congress, July the 4th, 1776. Let me read it slowly and carefully for us. "When in the course of," I'm going to read just simply the preamble. "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station of which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of God the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than the right of themselves by abolishing the forms by which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, presuming invariable the same object, evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries. And then they go into the 27 charges against the king of England that caused them to separate and form a new government. The Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, is a document that ought to be treasured by every Christian and every American. I believe we have a caller on the line. Greg, go ahead with your comments or your questions, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Matter of fact, you just said the 27 things, and I suppose I read it a little differently. I've heard people say 27. I've heard say 31. I say 33. As you read through what I call the indictment against King George, I see 33 specific things that jump out at me. So I call it the 33-count indictment against King George. But
yes,
to me, as we prepare for this celebration of Independence Day, I want for people to not take this for granted. I mean, we look back in time, and there's a separation of a couple hundred years. But I think oftentimes we overlook the extreme level of abuse that those colonists, our founding fathers, tolerated for so long and tried to work with King George. I think about the fact that sermon after sermon from pulpit brought out these abuses and talked about the ungodly and indecent nature of the abuses. The King George tagged at a certain point these preachers with the term they were the black-robed regiment. King George hated them with a purple, passionate hatred, because I believe that those pastors, that those black, in the Black Robe Regiment, they actually kind of drove what became, that call for separation, that call for independence, and that long line of abuses, as the Declaration talks about, were addressed kind of, point by point from a biblical perspective. I think you do some of that today in calling out when governance has tread on individual liberties, God-given rights. And I think many of those in the Black Robe Regiment kind of landed on the, we ought obey God rather than man conclusion.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm delighted to say, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, there's a whole movement today, the Black Robe Regiment, that is in effect today, and multitudes of pastors across the nation have signed up to be recognized as part of the Black Robe Regiment, and that's simply speaking of the preachers of that era. They will take a stand, as you said, and confront government and confront governmental leaders with the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. I'm thankful that that has been instituted as a point of demarcation to let the world know that we have some pastors, and I believe there's about, I think the last count I had was about 3,400 pastors that had signed up for that across the nation, that's willing to stand and say, we will stand for truth, we will confront evil and when it shows in the face of government and the governance as to what we ought to do. I'm thankful. And by the way, when you talk about the 27, 26, or 33, 27, when you look at it, it's 27, but you break it down in the sum with the combined charges under one number, it is 33, in fact, charges they brought against the king.
Right. Well, to me, when they signed off on that declaration and they wrapped it up, you know, mutually pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, we have kids today that I think would have a difficult time defining those words. They don't realize the extreme cost, the extreme price that was paid to secure our liberty. I've got a brief here. So, you know, 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving the Revolutionary War. 9 of the 56 fought and died from hardships in the Revolutionary War. It's these things, these liberties that have been secured, God-given liberties that have been secured, it was a great price. And oftentimes I'll reflect on the flag. Flag Day was just passed recently, and the valor represented by that red, that crimson red, that's, to me, it's the shedding of blood. You don't have valor without the risking or the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood that was required to acquire liberty for us as a nation can be compared with the shedding of blood that's required for the liberty of our souls, our eternal life, purchased by the shedding of blood. There's an extreme price. It's not just a document. It's not just a day. It's not just a flag. There's an extreme price. There's an extreme
yes.
cost for the acquisition of liberty.
Yes. In fact, one of the things that is so rarely mentioned is that of our signers of the Declaration of Independence, the 56 of them. And just as a little summary of that, and perhaps our listeners are aware of that, 25 of them were lawyers or jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers, large plantation owners, 1 was a teacher, 1 a musician, and 1 a printer. These were men of means and education, but yet they were willing to risk their lives, their future, their families, their fortunes. And when you read the history, and Greg, I'm sure you're aware of this, when you read the history of those 56 signers, it's heartbreaking to see what happened to them, their families, and their lives, simply because of taking that stand, of signing that document. Today is not looked at with reverence or with a view of pride and thankfulness by so many in society today. For example, William Ellery signed at the risk of his fortune, and it provided proved to be only so true, as one article says, for in 1776 December, during 3 days of British occupation at Newport, Rhode Island, Ellery's home was burned and all of his property destroyed. And that's pretty much the story behind each of these 56 men.
To me, today, if we're going to look back on those things, we need to see how that document, both the Declaration as well as the Constitution, are applicable today, and to always reflect on from a perspective of, are we recreating or allowing to be reestablished the same tyranny that established that was established by King George and led to that War of Independence? To me, as you go through that list, that 33-count indictment, as I call it, and analyze the words, many times, if we properly look at them, we're experiencing today a similar level of tyranny, many times from bureaucracy. But specifically, I can point to the Hammonds, the Bundys, the Malheur case, the IRS harassment of Tea Party groups. Documented hundreds of Tea Party groups harassed or neglected intentionally in order to affect the outcome of an election. And then we had the IRS head take the oath before Congress and then take her Fifth Amendment right not to harm herself in the midst of that testimony. It's disgusting. It's perverse. By the way, we the taxpayers, we had to pay out millions of dollars in claims to settle that issue because of the misdeeds of a handful of IRS agents. You had Kathy Engelbrecht. She took the stand before Congress to testify about her organization called True the Vote. All she was doing is, in the state of Texas, analyzing through her organization, analyzing the registered voters to see whether or not individuals that were illegally in the country were registered to vote. Or individuals that were registered in another state were also registered and voting in the state of Texas. Or to see if individuals that were dead were still registered voters and voting. So that's all True the Vote was established to do, was to clean up the voter rolls. Well, when she established that group, she started being harassed. She and her husband were both audited by the IRS. Never happened before. Their businesses were raided by the ATF and the FBI. Individuals can say what they want to, but I don't think that was a coincidence. To never have a problem with government, to be harassed from all these different sides.
It was not coincidental at all, just as the FBI and the DOJ and its investigative arm and its spying on the Trump campaign and the Trump administration is part of that same scenario. And when I watch some of the hearings where Rod Rosenstein was being interviewed, he had a smart aleck attitude that he was not answerable to the oversight committee. Somehow, some way, there's the feeling now in DOJ and the FBI that they're actually one branch of the government. And as one of the congressmen reminded him that he studied the Constitution, he doesn't find any place where the FBI, the DOJ, is one branch of the government. And therefore, they're answerable to the oversight of Congress. But that's some of the positions, conditions that we're finding today that's being revived simply because we've not recognized what we have in our Constitution and in our Declaration of Independence. And as we celebrate our Independence Day, July the 4th celebration, I believe it's incumbent upon every citizen, every American, to read the Declaration of Independence, to see what we have, and to see what our founding fathers have said and done. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said, "How little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in the possession of, and which no other, and of which no other people on earth can enjoy," end quote. No other nation on the face of God's green earth has what we have today as Americans, and yet it is so little valued by so many, including those that make our laws in Washington and that expect the general populace to follow the laws, and their sense is that they're above the law. Greg, what do you have to say to our listeners today? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 401-1413. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Greg, what would you like for our audience to understand further when we think about the awesomeness and the responsibility we have of recognizing what we have in our founding documents and what our founding fathers gave of their lives, their fortunes, and their willingness to surrender that for our posterity today we might have this freedom?
I would ask that everyone be always faithful to the Word of God, always faithful to the standards that we see in the Constitution. I believe you can do both of those at the same time 100%. Today, you see issues, and I pointed to several of them. The Hammonds have their case now on the president's desk. I'd ask you to look at that. I ask you to reach out to the president's office. They were treated as terrorists. They were treated as terrorists. You have two of them spending years in jail under a provision they should never have been tried under. For allowing some fire to get off of their farmland. This is, you know, farmland where they got thousands of acres. They were sentenced as terrorists, even though the judge said this is an improper sentence. Literally, they were harassed. And I think about the Bundys and the fact that they tried to round up those Bundy cows. Now, the same government that says it can't round up illegal aliens spent over $1 million analyzing, surveying, flying over with helicopters and trying to round up the Bundy's cattle. Do you understand that? Over $2,000 or $3,000 in grazing fees is what they were claiming. This is harassment. Well, I'm going to do this from memory now, and you can read the Constitution or the Declaration and see if I'm right. At the end of that 33-count indictment, our founding fathers wrote, "In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for the redress in the most humble terms, and our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people." So as I ask you to be always faithful, I'd also say, use the words of the Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis, always faithful.
Always faithful. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said this in the closing moments we have, Greg. Let me read this statement from Thomas Jefferson. Let the annual return of this day forever refresh our recollections of these rites and undiminished devotion of them. So as we think about and we celebrate July the 4th, we ought to do that. And the recognition, it should refresh our recollection of the rights that we have and undiminished devotion to them. Greg, thank you so much for your dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to the next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.